Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Tensions are heightening in the Central African nation of Chad after President Idriss Deby's death 2 weeks ago. President Deby, who ruled the country with an iron fist for more than three decades, won his sixth term in office with almost 80% of the vote in the presidential election earlier last month. But he was killed by rebels in the northern part of the country afterwards. The country is now ruled by a transitional military council headed by Idriss Deby's son, Mohamed Deby. Protests at the capital in N'Djamena, demanding civilian rule earlier last week, resulted in at least two deaths and injuring 27 people. Mudwe Daga is a PhD student at SOAS University in London, and he is now in the southern city of Durban. He spoke to me last Friday.
So, obviously, when you read the international newspapers, what matters now is the question of security and stability in the region, like how much Chad is a stakeholder in conflicts around happening in the Sahel right now. And you may remember, just to give a quick background, Chad is the main provider right behind France of military personnel in the war happening right now in Mali against terror groups. But also this conflict is having repercussions in neighboring countries such as Niger or Burkina Faso and even Mauritania. So when you hear or read about Chad in the international media, so obviously this is what is coming out, like the questions of security and stability in the region. But what is less talk about is how people here, the domestic people, feel about the regime and how they think about democracy and what and service delivery. So obviously, when you look at this historically, then it means Chad, the conflicts in Chad has been viewed primarily through the strategic issues that you can that Western power relate to. So the strategic issues are obviously what I've been talking about internationally, how they see Chad as a breaking point between security in the Sahel and Northern Africa. But then obviously I understand that historically these conflicts have their domestic roots, like they take roots in injustice, social inequality, lack of democracy, political violence. And so this is how I do my interpretation. I make the interpretation of what's unfolding now.
Okay, so I kind of want to start things off by talking about what's happening, what has happened for the past couple of weeks. We know Chad had a presidential election.
So Chad was going to presidential elections in 2021 in April, but what happened is that right before the elections, you have a huge movement seeking to prevent the president, now dead, to run for a sixth term. So the president in Chad has been in power since 1990, so he was running for a sixth term, and many people and also local organizations tried to oppose that sixth term, and then the situation escalated when one of the opposition leaders against the president, his residence was attacked, and his mother, who was living with him at that time, got killed in the attack. So many of the major opposition figures here, they decided to withdraw from the electoral process because obviously they fear for their own security. If the military personnel can come to an opposition leader and just kill his mom in broad daylight, then obviously we understand that something, this represents a threat to other politicians who were engaged in that electoral process. So they decided to withdraw, and they were asking for an inclusive dialogue where all people from all backgrounds will come together and define the future of Chad. But this was categorically denied by
the deceased president.
It was denied by Idriss Deby, the former president. And so he went to the election by himself, followed by maybe two or three more opposition leaders, but who do not represent any force in the political spectrum here in Chad. So then, by the time he denied the dialogue, I think that's when the rebellion groups they make their way into Chad from Libya, trying to force that dialogue to happen. And obviously, when they break through Chad from Libya, they got confronted by the National Army, headed by the president himself. So he got killed in the battlefield and opening a new page for the country. So that's how we are going into this turmoil now, when the president's son took over following his death. And he's now running a military council. He's not leading a military council who is running the country. Obviously, this is the major point now of demonstrations across the country, where people are asking for a democratic change.
So let's go back up a bit to Idriss Deby. Who is he?
I think Idriss Deby was a warlord, because he wasn't really a president. What matters for him was actually running the Chad with a military strong fist. So all what he's been doing as a president was consolidating the military power, rather than delivering on social services, delivering on education. When you read international rankings, you can see Chad is always at the bottom of everything in terms of poverty alleviation. When you read figures about education, when you read figures about service delivery such as water or electricity, Chad is always on the bottom of those lists, not because the country does not have the means or the resources to improve the quality of these services, but simply because the money or the resources, the national resources, are diverted toward building a strong army. So in the end, we had a leader who was more like a world law rather than a president who was delivering on the issue which matter for the ordinary people here in Chad.
Right. And okay, let's go push back up a little bit. But what do the people in Chad, normal people, think of Idriss Deby before he died?
So obviously you have many people having different opinion, obviously. But I think recently, in the last years, there were very strong opposition building against his regime. Very strong opposition, obviously, from people who believe that a sixth term won't bring anything good, because he's been in power for 30 years. And what people were asking for, rather than making new promises, is at least to talk about what he have done, right? So for 30 years, like I was saying, when you look at the international rankings, Chad is always on the bottom, close to those countries who are in war, like Somalia or like Yemen. So we are performing as bad as countries who are in war, despite having internal stability and despite having a lot of income coming out of oil production. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, you said earlier that with the death of President Deby, the country Chad now moves into a new chapter. What does that mean?
I think many people here in Chad believe that this is going to be an opportunity for to deliver on democracy, right? So to deliver on democracy, what it means is that they've been fighting on the streets to prevent him from running for a sixth term, and they were running, they were demonstrating on the streets to ask for inclusive dialogue. So now what people are asking those in charge of the country right now is to bring the country to a dialogue where everyone from every background and from different opinion can sit on the same table and discuss the issue of the future of this country, which obviously should be democratic.
Okay, I'm not quite sure about the composition of Chad here. So is Chad multicultural?
So if you look at it, Chad is like the transition between the North Africa and the Southern Africa, both in terms of geography and in terms of people. So half the country is desertic, so you have the desert, and then half of it is like the savannah. But also, you have, when you look at the people, half of it is Muslim, and part of it is Christians and animist people, animistic people. But also, when you look at the population still, many of them as like black African, but you also have part of the population which is Arabic, right? So this is a multicultural society, kind of a transition between what you find in Northern Africa and what you find in Southern Sub-Saharan Africa.
Right. And on in the town that you are in now, Duba, has that been peaceful since what has happened after the presidential election and the death of Idris Deby?
I think much of the areas here in Chad has been quiet, right? Despite, obviously on the 27th, 2 days ago, we had a huge demonstration in the capital city and in Mundu, which is not so far from where I am. But relatively, we can consider that we're having a relative peace. So this is unexpected. If you read people before the death of the president, it was much sure that if he dies in power, there's going to be chaos in Chad. But this is not happening right now. And I think here where I am, things are running, shops are open. People are going, students are still going to the university. And so life is normal, I may say. Yeah.
What about the current head of the military council, President Idris Deby's son? Is he well known within the public?
Not so much from the public, but he has a record in the army. Like, obviously, he was the one leading the security guard, so the presidential security guard. He was running that military corps, which is almost the elite in the Chadian army. And he was also on the battlefield, like in Mali, for example. When Chad deployed troops in Mali to fight against terror organization, he was the one leading almost 2,000 soldiers. So he is well-known in the army. He has a good record in the army. But obviously, this is the first time many people see him publicly. So that's what I know from him. Personally, I don't know him much, beside from his military record. I don't know his stand for democracy, for example. What does he believe in terms of democracy? What does he believe in terms of civil rights? I don't know much about his records on these issues.
Okay. I don't know if this is much of your expertise, but on foreign policy, because I know France in Paris, France was a big ally of President Idriss Deby. What do you think that will change anything, the relations between France and Chad, especially you talked of the huge cooperation around the G5 group in the Sahel?
France is a big stakeholder in the conflict right now, in the crisis right now, and I think France is going to remain a big stakeholder depending on the position. So on the day of the funeral of the late President Idriss Deby, François Emmanuel Macron, the French president, he made a strong statement which was perceived, which shocked many people here in Chad and abroad. He said he's not going to allow anyone to jeopardize Chad's stability. But when he was saying this, he was saying actually that he's supporting the military council. So when he says he's supporting the military council, which is run by the late president's son, obviously for the public, it means that France is supporting a transition from a father to a son, not so much democratic transition. And so that's what is perceived from the public here. We see France supporting the military council, not just for Chadian stability, but we see it as a support to a regime that has for so many years supported France foreign policy in the Sahel region. So for the next month, I think the position in France is going to determine how much the current regime, the military council, is going to hold on the power. So if France is going to, recently, I think a few days ago, when two or three days ago, when Emmanuel Macron met president, Congolese president Tshisekedi from Congo, what they decided, what he was saying is quite different from what he said during the funeral. So he was now saying that he is opposed to a transition from father to son, and that he supports inclusive dialogue. So I think that's a different tone, and that's a different stance, which is going to change things here on the ground, especially on the part on the side of the military council, which can be now more keen to open the door for a democratic and a more inclusive dialogue to happen.
Right, but what's the military? Does the military in Chad have a lot of role in politics, and is the military popular among the people?
So when we say this is a country run for so, this is a country where strategic questions has been so prevalent, much more than other social issues such as education or health issues. So you understand the central role of the military in what is happening. But this military has been built to support the president, not to support the population, right? Because many, if you can go through the history, many of local demonstrations are severely broken down by the military. So it means that in the end, what is happening here, we see the military more like a support of the regime, and it's just the face. The military is just the face of the regime, which is trying now to survive the death of the president.
Okay, so it's safe to say the public isn't a big fan of the military.
Obviously not, since you know, much of the military personnel, they are recruited from the president's ethnic group, right? Like when you think of the security guard, which was led until yesterday by his son, who is now the president of the military council, that much of the personnel working for that from that body of the army are recruited among the ethnic group of the president. So you understand that this is not really a democratic army or a national army.
Yeah. No, it is not. But did the military council say whether the transition period will end?
So now they're talking about 18 months of transition, which can be renewed once. So meaning a potential 3 years transition. But I don't think that the question much now is about the duration of the transition. I think the question right now is about the nature of the transition itself. Like, who should be part of the transition, and who is going to run the transition? Is it going to be the military having the almost all the power, as they have now suspended the constitution and the parliament, and they have published a charter, a transitional charter, which is going to be like the constitution of the country for the next months, for the transition months. So in that charter, all the powers are in the hands of the president of the military council, which means that obviously transition is going to be led by the military, and they are going to dispose of all the resources of this nation, or they are going to decide all the big issues that are going to be raised during the transition. So now I think from the opposition parties and civil society, what they are asking is a more inclusive dialogue where everyone can come in, an inclusive transition where every voices from different spectrums here in Chad can be heard.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95 BFM.